Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. My co-host today is Norman Nakanishi, former University of Hawaii football chaplain, pastor of one of Hawaii's fastest growing churches, respected, highly sought as an inspirational communicator. This is part of a series we're calling Leadership Moments. And today, a special guest. Henry Ward Beecher said, "We should not judge people by their peak of excellence, but by the distance they have traveled from the point where they started." Our guest will give us the privilege of walking on, at least along parts of his journey, one which will be both inspirational, insightful, or maybe I should just also add, also practical. As you would expect from a grandmaster, from a sifu. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we exist to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. We want you to know how much Christ loves you, and that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ continues to reach out to you and call you by name. Whoever you've been, whatever you've gone through, he knows you and he loves you. Since the founding of his unique fighting art, Wun Hop Kuen Do, a style of Kajukenbo that incorporates Chinese and Filipino martial arts into the traditional Kajukenbo system. In 1969, when it was founded, Al Dacascos became one of the most noted martial artists of our era. He has won over 200 championships, appeared on just as many martial arts magazines, magazine covers. In 1977, he was inducted into the Black Belt Hall of Fame as Instructor of the Year. And again in 1992 by Inside Kung Fu magazine, two of the world's most prestigious martial arts magazines. Al Dacascos was the first practitioner of Kung Fu to compete in the American Martial Arts Tournament circuit. He's a visionary. He's manifested the dream of creating a network of schools and 5 generations of black belts to reflect his style. He travels the world. He will be leaving again soon after we're done, in a few days. But he's traveling all over the world teaching, continuing to pass on what he's learned. But through the years, as you know, there's so much more to the story than what you'd read on a magazine cover, so much more depth. And that's why he's here to share. Al, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm humbled by what you said about me. Sometimes I just chuckle in the way people pronounce my last name. Let me just give you a little bit of background on that. Yeah. In high school, people only knew me as Albert Dacascos. Basically, I had no choice on the name, because you don't put your name into a pot and then pull it out. Well, Dacascos, the name goes back over 600 years, so to speak, because if you take the word Coscos or Dacascos, it actually has to do with the helmet, which means back in Spain, the name comes from the helmet makers. So it has a background of the martial arts in there. And when I ended up on the mainland, my last name ended up being so many different ways, and people couldn't pronounce my last name, Dacascos. They call it Dacascos, Damascus, and so forth. And I ended up with being Greek or Russian and whatever. And And one of the magazines, Black Belt Magazine, you know, said Al DeCascos three times, three different magazines, you know, issues. So I said, you know what, just keep it that way. My son Mark never knew it, you know, his name. He says, Dad, I'm confused. I'm not really sure what my name is. I said, Mark, your name is DeCascos. Just leave it as Mark, Mark DeCascos.
It becomes international.
Yeah, yeah. You go to Europe, the name, it's not only because of me, it's because of the work of my students that have been there. It's almost recognizable as being the Mercedes of the martial arts in Europe.
So we talk about international, and you're a world traveler, and you've been doing that for decades. And your teaching continues to grow, your influence continues to grow. But you started out here. Where did you grow up?
I was actually born on Hilo, in Hilo. You know, I grew up the first eight years, I guess, on Ilele Kauai, and then moved into the Paloma Settlement area. So I'm pretty familiar with where we are here. And then actually, before the Kalihi Valley, you know, expanded, you know, we moved up there. I never knew what the word Kalihi meant, but then when I found out, the word Kalihi meant the edge. So that means I lived at the very edge of the city at that particular time.
Yeah. What was it like growing up? Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, it depends, you know. When my father was around and he had the whip, he influenced me a lot.
He had influence.
Yes, he had a big influence on me on that part. Yeah, but most of it was, you know, my mom. You know, my mom basically took care of us. I mean, at an early age, I knew how to iron, clean, wash dishes. Of course, I was considered the automatic dishwasher at that time. You see, so I had no choice but to learn. I call it velvet love, you know, because it was pretty good discipline at that time. Mm-hmm. You know?
A book is being written, your authorized autobiography, The Cascos Dynasty, Through the Eyes of the Warrior. In the earlier pages, your son Mark DeCascos, of course, Iron Chef, Only the Strong. And now, you know, Hawaii Five-0's WoFat. He spoke of your book, this one, The Cascos Dynasty. He said he believes the book will leave you, Al, with a purging serenity on a spiritual level that you have not attained at any point in your life. Why is that so?
I think what happens is that everyone is like a tea kettle. You know, if you don't have a release coming out, then you'll explode. And, you know, I guess because of my racial background and ethnic, you know, it becomes very touchy on a certain thing because I'm passionate about what I do. And if I can't express my feelings emotionally or from my soul, you know, it's a point where it goes kaboom. And I've had a habit before, and the martial arts has helped me, and you know, and going back into speaking with God, that it has become a release. But I needed to put this down on a book form so that my students, my friends, you know, can see the good and the bad, you know, what made me who I am today. I mean, life is, nobody teaches us in, you know, social interaction or any of that in high school. We don't do that. I mean, you learn it through the years and out down the street, and even if it's done there, learning, having that experience out on the street, the thing is just that it's in my head. I know what I feel and I in my soul, and I needed to put this into a book form, more so also because of my family. My children have no idea, you know, who I am. Actually, they see Daddy, you know, discipline them and speaking to them and spoiling them and everything else that, but they don't know me outside of the house. You know, like my little girl, she's 12 years old. She knows I kick and punch, but She has no idea. Yeah. My son Mark knows me from a certain area. It's like every one of us, no matter who it is, has secrets. And this one, I bring it out so that I can be with peace with myself and say that this is who I was and this is where I am right now and where I hope to go. It's sort of like a direction, so to speak, you know, and using my mistakes and turning it into something that can lead people into a better way.
Well, Pastor Norman, I'm grateful that we have here somewhat of a prelude of the book before its release. But whenever I talk to Pastor Norman, he's living a movie. Al DeCoscos, his life is a movie. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, we'll talk about the unfolding of the drama. But it's a drama that's not just on silver screen. It perhaps will be, should be, is going to be. The book is coming out. But it's a real life drama that you've lived and you continue to live. There are many insights, even how Christ has become a part of your life. When we come back, more with Al DeCoscos. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life. Becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at the goodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
When you're in martial arts, you're definitely in competition. I mean, you're in the heat of battle. You've got to be a warrior. What about when you know the likes of Bruce Lee? I mean, you're talking about a friendship, a relationship that you have. And as you look back, those are the early days in the 20th century. As the modern day, as we know it, martial arts has grown and the influence of Bruce Lee and the likes of our guest today, Al DeCoscos. They moved in the same circles. They developed influence, in fact, so much so that at Bruce Lee's passing, the estate of Bruce Lee's weapons were offered to Al. But he's a man of honor, and for specific reasons, he didn't take it. I mean, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Norman Nakanishi, and our featured guest, Al DeCoscos, with us today. To find out more about our show, maybe you're just tuning in right now, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get the podcast for free, and not only benefit from it yourself, but pass it on to others.
Al DeCoscos.
Yeah, right. Just think about Costco's.
Costco's, yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you, know, that's the amazing fact. Last year was, I believe, you know, there was much activity about Bruce Lee. Tell us about your friendship with Bruce Lee, because, you know, Linda, his widow at the time, really wanted you to take the estate. You actually introduced some of the concept of kicking to the late Bruce Lee. And that friendship, though, grew your business side, and the art evolved into a business. You're also one of the few to ever defeat Chuck Norris, among others, in competition. But competition breeds a different kind of competition, and it nearly took your life. Take us there.
Let's start with my relationship with Bruce.
Okay. Yeah.
When I arrived in California in the mid-1960s, Bruce had his school. And I got into a confrontation with Bruce unexpectedly. And the way that I got into a confrontation with him, it was because of students. Students don't cause, I mean, let's say the instructors don't cause problems among each other. We respect each other. It's the students that go around and say, oh, my instructor is better than you, and etc. Well, there was a guy by the name of Al Novak. He was the only person to have put Bruce Lee off his horse. In other words, you know, hitting him and just knocking him off balance. But when talk got around, he says, oh, C4L, it was the person that hit Bruce Lee, and he knocked Bruce Lee down. Well, they got the names confused. Instead of saying Al Novak, this is Al C4L. So therefore, this one existed for about a year until I finally met with Bruce at the internationals. And I walked up to him and says, hey, you know, I think we got some things that we need to solve over here. And he said, don't worry about it. I know where it's coming from. And, you know, that was solved. And we ended up being really good friends there. Now, as far as my, you know, getting into the he's offering me his things, that came when he passed on. And His wife offered me to come down to Hollywood with Warner Brothers United Artists to try and to do the part. Actually, the Jason Scott Lee finally did it 20 years later, but originally it was called The Life and Legend of Bruce Lee. She had seen me, and we had done a tour together after Bruce had died. We had traveled Europe together. So she came back and says, Al, I need you to come down here and try for this part. I know you can do it. I wasn't really interested in doing it at all because I had my own thing. But I finally went because my wife then convinced me, you should try it. There were about six or seven other people that were there from throughout the world because they had done this, selecting the best people. When I was there, then I finally got the part. And what was strange was me sitting down in the studio going through this, screen test and everything. I was holding this doll, and on my part had to say this, oh, he looks more Caucasian than Chinese. You know, I had to do it a couple of times because it's hard for me speaking to a doll pretending it was Brandon, you know? So anyway, that said, I got the part, okay? But politics came into it where agencies were fighting. And it got to a point that, you know, it was really disgusting. Over at Linda's house, Linda had said, you know, I want you to have his clothes. I want you to have all this equipment and everything. That when I was looking at it, I said, wow, you know, this is really an honor, but, you know, I can't do it. Well, two things. One, Bruce was shorter than me, you know, so I couldn't fit in his shoes. He wore 7.5 and I wore a 9, you know, and then his jackets, you know, he used it. He looks real nice on it, but I was a little bit more bigger than him. And I was trying to stuff my hands into it. He said he wouldn't do. So yeah, I said, no, that's fine. I wasn't thinking about future where maybe I could have put it up into a museum or something. But you know, then she offered me some equipment, you know, so I said, okay, you know, you need to get rid of it anyway. You don't want it, so I'll accept this. I had an airbag that he used on the movie, Chuck Norris, you know, the one, the Coliseum fight, and then a bulwark and everything. The bad thing I did about it was that, you know, I was so proud about it, and when I got back to Germany, I was like, wow, look at this, what I got. Well, it took a week later, and it disappeared. You know, it was like, oh, wow, you know, somebody just ripped me off with it, and, you know, well, that's it. Now, as far as getting to the top, you know, that alone, because of, they say that, oh, you know, that I had trained with Bruce Lee, and it was a lot of things that was wrong. But, oh, he trained with Bruce Lee, he was Bruce Lee's very good friend and everything, and not, we were friends. I've never trained with Bruce Lee. We've had long conversations together. But that alone, when you talk to someone, sometimes you can learn more in 5 minutes of talking than you can spend a whole day of training. And we exchanged so much materials there at that time. And, you know, like, Bruce used to come and watch my demonstration. That there was a couple of kicking techniques that end up in his movies. And I said, I know where he got that. Mm-hmm. You know, now I never thought of him, but I saw him. He was there. And then he said, hey, you got pretty good kicking techniques. I said, of course. I had longer legs than him. I had the reach on him. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was excellent, extremely fast, and very... well, I would say hot tempered, but he knew. He was very focused on where he was going. You know, of course, we differed on different things, because as people know, that most martial arts that come out of Asia is all Buddhist orientated. And for me, being born and raised here, our form of martial arts, Kaju Kembo, was formed by five Christians. You know, so it was a different mentality there. It was like Buddhist in Christianity. So on one part we could talk, and one part we couldn't talk. I had to lay off and stay away from that.
Wow. You were on the cover of Black Belt magazine, Kung Fu. I mean, Danny and I can remember some of your fame because we were wannabes, but I just saw Expendables 2. Mm-hmm. And there's Chuck Norris, just like you, still got game. You're one of the few to defeat him. I mean, he's still as popular as ever. He gave his heart to Christ. He had his failures. And all of that fame, though, caused problems, because now people wanted a piece of the action. And tell us about that one moment where probably a life changer, they wanted a piece of your life.
I think it's still going on. You know, people trying to jump on the wagon here. You know, not on the cause of me, because of my son Mark also, and
that's
the name
true.
Combined
yeah,
alone,
true.
You know, it's a force. You know, Chuck is a very, very wonderful person, really neat person, and I never actually met him at the very beginning when I was first getting into competition. I used to see he and Chuck Norris, he and Joe Louis in competition. I used to sit on the sideline and just admire him. I competed against Chuck Norris in form competitions, and he took the Korean style, I took the Chinese style, and a guy by the name of John Pereira took the Japanese style, and they put all us together for the grand championship there. Bruce Lee was watching this competition. I had pulled a hamstring, so I couldn't perform as well, but I did it anyway. I was so much in pain, I don't even know who won the grand championship. And then, you know, nevertheless, you know, Chuck and I only met on that term until about a year or 2 years later, where it was sort of like a mistake in identity, which was good for me. Chuck was beaten by a person by the name of Al Velasco out in New York. Okay, and since Chuck was retiring, you know, he wanted to have a rematch with this guy, Al Velasco. Well, the guy that put it together, you know, thought he was Al de Costco's. Okay, so what happened was that they put me on him on a card, and I said, wow, I got a chance to fight Chuck Norris, you know. But when they found out that it was the wrong person, you know, it was kind of too late. It was about a week or 2 weeks before. Yeah. And Chuck said, oh, well, I'll fight him anyway. You know what I mean? I said, okay, fine, I'll fight you too, you know. Now, Al Velasco's name is so close, so it's, you know, it's just a conflict there. So I ended up going against Chuck. And then, you know, by that time, you know, we were sort of like more friendly. And the odd thing, I was living in Northern California, and Chuck was in Southern California. This guy, Al Velasco, was on the East Coast, and they wanted me because it was the East Coast team to be put on the East Coast team. I don't know anybody on the East Coast. So they put me in the Midwest team, and I fought with four other people who I had no idea who I was fighting with. Yeah. We were all wearing black uniforms, naturally, and Chuck and his group were all using white uniforms. I mean, you take a look at that, and psychologically, you think, well, who's the bad guy here? You know? So we ended up getting to competition, and I fought Chuck three rounds. Now, Chuck and I fought the first round, and he came off the line and did a spinning back kick that sent me into the ropes and bouncing off. Of course, this one didn't do too good for my chest. So I came back pretty hard on him and took the second round. It was going back and forth, and things afterwards on the third round, my coach says, he says, you know, you're not supposed to win. I said, what are you talking about? He says, this is Chuck Norris' retirement fight. They're featuring him on Black Belt magazine. You know, of course, that can be a real downer. You know, when somebody tells you that, they say, oh, boy, what am I doing? I've been set up, right. You know. So the round went, okay. So it was like he won, I won. And then they finally, at bottom one, it was like a tie. But then again, when I took a look around the side and I started looking at the judges, and I'm thinking, I'm not fighting on the East Coast. I'm fighting in Southern California. Whose land is this? That's not my land. You know, so it's like, okay, nevertheless, win or loss, it was a privilege fighting somebody of that caliber. About a couple of weeks later, he invited me to his house, and I spent the day and the night there. And we start talking about all the politics, and, you know, I say, oh, you got me good here. Yeah, I know. You got a blood leap from me. And there's a picture of him with my hand right on his nose, and his nose is bent sideways one way, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, this one here, I beat you on this one. So it was just like, you know, it was fun. I mean, and I've watched him grow and become such an excellent person representing, you know, the martial arts. And, you know, when he got into the DARE program, and then, you know, when he became a Christian, I mean, it was like, whoa, you know, I got somebody that way too, yeah?
When you talk about the heat of competition, of course, then there's a political influences that come along with it. It's far more than an onlooker. A viewer, someone that's enjoying it, understands how the show is put on. And you've understood, and you've lived, and you've navigated through. Now, it's these kinds of things, they take a toll. They take a toll on life, on families. And over the years, you've experienced things in life, decisions made, choices. And the aftermath of the results. And there's been a soul searching in your own heart over time. Men of your level, Al, are very reflective, philosophical even. You think differently than the average person. There's a depth. When we come back from our break, let's go there, more of an introspective part of our time now. What have you been yearning for? What have you been hoping for, looking for, desires? From a spiritual side, what about your relationship with Christ? You mentioned about Christianity a while ago. What about Christ? What difference has he made in your life? And how does it all come together? Or at least seems to be coming together. When we come back, more with Al DeCoscos. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky.
Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You have impressions, you have desires, yearnings, and life is always moving on. So you're going on in life, you're pursuing things, you're achieving things. But when does it all become clear as to why you're doing what you're doing? And is it all worth it? And where do you go from here? Well, these are questions that people ponder, but our guest today has gone through that and is coming out with a new book. It's called The Koskos Dynasty, Through the Eyes of the Warrior. And you can find out more about that, this program, and more resources. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. We got programs like these, free podcasts for you to pass on to your friends and also to enrich you as you listen to it. thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Al Dacascos, incredible martial arts icon. We see your son Mark, you, what a tandem. We'll get to that a little later. But you know what? Fame has its price, and it nearly took you out as people came after what you had. And I think by your own admission, I've heard you once say, you can be so full of yourself, you come to the end of yourself, and then you find yourself through Jesus. But talk to us about how you nearly lost it all.
Well, this was back in Portland, Oregon. I had a school going on there, and I been in that location after returning back from Germany. I was going through a lot of things during my head at a particular time. One, I had developed an apparatus called the Perfect Dummy, and I had entrusted that in a friend. Well, the Perfect Dummy, it sounds kind of stupid in a sense, but it was actually a life-sized equipment of a man that you could practice with and do full contact and everything without actually hurting someone. I had designed this, and I had befriended a person that I thought was a friend, and he had told me, hey, you know what, I'll help invest into this in here, and I'll take the pattern down to the pattern office. Well, he disappeared with my pattern, and all the work that I had done in it went just up the tubes. He eventually sold my pattern 3 or 4 times over and made millions on it. And I knew at that time that would have been something that would have been, nobody had it. It was just something that was computerized and so forth. And at the same token too, my school was doing extremely well. So I had whatever I wanted. I had my nice place, my nice school, and, you know, money whenever I needed it. But, you know, if something was empty there. And then I had a problem with my son, because he was in the process of doing a movie. And the movie was actually called, it changed titles. It went from Thunderfoot to Shattered Image. And we got into losing a lot of money on that, on account of that conflict between he, myself, and the agencies. So we never talked for a while. And at that particular time, I was spending so much time in myself, in a sense, that I didn't take care of my family. I was in home. I stayed late at night working and everything. And it was like going through a divorce. And it was like I have all this, but I wasn't happy on the inside. Something was missing, and I didn't know exactly what was missing, although I knew, but was sort of like denying it, because I knew that if if I would be in Christ, you see, I wouldn't be having what I had. So, you know, he's kind of just like putting him on the side and putting in his worldly goods first, you know. And it was like sitting down, and it was, I remember it was in a February, cold winter night in Portland, Oregon, sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, this is all, why? I got things, but inside was empty. I'm having problems with my son. I'm going through, you know, a divorce. I had somebody steal my pattern, and I was, so many things was coming up. And of course, you know, being cold at night, it didn't help at all. And I sat on my desk there, and on the right side, on the left side of me was my plaques where I had, you know, Hall of Fame, Instructor of the Year, blah, 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 and everything. On my other, my right side was my bookshelf. And it was over after 11 o'clock at night. I closed the school at about 10 o'clock, and I decided, well, I'm going to have myself a wine and a beer, which I did. And then all these thoughts coming in here, I said, you know, this doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, so many things coming down. I said, I couldn't take it. There was so much stress coming on that I just pulled my pistol out and then, you know, made sure that there was around it and just pointed on my right temple and then just pressed the trigger. And it just glazed my head. I got up the next morning, you know, on the floor, the shell expanded, and I'm looking around. And I said, "Oh, my head hurts." You know.
Okay, let me just stop. So you attempted to kill yourself at point blank range,
yes,
and missed.
Yeah, it took. No, well, I had it up in my. Well, I would say, yeah, thank God it missed because they took a lot of it burnt my hair off on the top. You know, the sound was so loud that I was. You know, today I suffer from tinnitus, which is, you know, hearing loss. Yeah, and well, the bullet had glazed my head. You know, it knocked me down. I ended up, but when the bullet hit, it hit on the left wall on my plaque, which says Black Belt Hall of Fame. And as I came off the floor and sat on my chair, you know, it was like shaking my head and says, you know, this is not good. And you look at the can of beer and the wine and. And, you know, I started crying, and it just is, you know, something's got to happen. Something is really missing. And just by chance, I just go ahead and just turn my head to the right side, and this book just kind of stood out. And I just went and I reached for it. It was my Bible, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just put the Bible down there. I started turning the pages, and I don't know what page I looked at. But tears started coming down with me, and I'm saying, God, forgive me. I'm really sorry, and everything else this way. And that's when I decided, you know, you know, it was done there for a reason. You know? A few months later, I was born again. You mm-hmm. see, I went to New Song, and I remember the pastor. And mm-hmm. when I went up there, you know, he told me, you know, gave my testimony, and I told him that, you know, I want to be a warrior for Christ. You know, because I see what's happening here. You get so involved with yourself, so much mm-hmm. money and people and things this way, and the same token, you know, you're losing your spiritual self, you know, because I was very materialistic at that particular time. Why? I came up in Kalihi Valley. I mean, I didn't have much. You know, all of a sudden you go from something that, you know, your dad, who, you know, I mean, we're living on corned beef and cabbage. And then one time I remember that we didn't have anything to eat. You know, we had stew, which I thought was chicken stew, but was my pet rabbit. So it's like, you know, I see where it's going.
You know, there also was a time people raided your home, and
yes.
they gunned it down, and you had to duck. I mean, it's like a movie, and they went to that length to take you out because they wanted, you were taking so much of the business. I mean, this is astounding stuff, Al.
Yeah, that happened in Denver, Colorado. I had in the Rocky Mountain area. I was never beaten. I was number one in that area. Then listed within the top 10 fighters in the United States at that particular time, and. There was this particular person, I won't mention his name because, well, he's passed on, but, you know, but what had happened was just that I had met him about a year before, and he invited me to go to Denver, Colorado to run his school there, but it was all a scam. And after I found out that he was involved with something else, I got out of it, and I put up my own school. Well, there was over 20 of his black belts joined me because they saw me as being the man there. And when I opened up my school was doing such a success. I had a house that I had, and on this particular night, which was a Friday when all the incident happened, I was called by a friend of mine, Tony Ramos, to go and join him in San Francisco. And it was a last minute thing. He would have paid my way. My wife and I went. We had I had a car. I had a nice Porsche, which was parked in the front. And I had my dog in the house. And we had a babysitter take my kids. And we left. So nobody knew. Everybody thought because of the car and because we had this electronic things and the light going on off, he thought I was home. That particular day, we ended up in San Francisco, and I was there at a tournament. The following morning, a very good student of mine called me up and told me, Sifu, you don't have a front of your house. They shut up all your house. It's gone. You know, I said, what are you talking about? He says, you know, apparently this blah, blah person came and decided that he was going to take you out. Well, we found out there were three individuals that came there. None of the evidence could be found until Monday, because on Saturday they had a real big snowstorm, and all the shells and the gun on the shells was down, covered under a foot and a half of snow. So it was the following Monday that they saw the shells come up, and then they put together the scenario. We already knew who was after me, Well, the person that actually was going after me, the three person that he had sent after me, it just got really hairy. It was like, you don't imagine that this could happen to you. I mean, my wife wanted to fly back right there and then, but they said, it's no sense. It's gone, you know.
Did that happen before you attempted?
Oh, yes. This was right around 1971, 72.
So we're talking it's about a culmination of events, very, very drastic things that you've gone through, and culminating at this point where you're looking at point blank, and you graze your head, you burn your hair off, and knock down, and a turning point.
I mean, you go from an evolution of people wanting to kill you to you wanting to kill yourself. That is the end of all things. Yeah. And then you find Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He enters your life. But of course, now, the greatest legacy and the moment of leadership, you can have many pupils, but then your father to your son, Mark.
Right.
And you had to reclaim that. How did that happen?
Well, after I became born again, I sent him a Bible, and I had his name, Mark DeCoscos, printed on it, He didn't pick that up until a couple of years, because he kind of saw a change in me. You know, I wasn't that hot-tempered or, money really didn't care. I wanted more internal peace with myself, and so he picked it up and read it, and matter of fact, I sent that to my son Mark and my stepson. Both of them had their names on it. You know, it took them a while before they came around to it. So then he called back to me, and matter of fact, he said, "Dad, can you come down to Los Angeles?" And I said, "Sure." So I went down to Los Angeles and stayed with him, and during the weekend, and we walked in the park and just sat and talked about everything that we felt in our soul that we never brought up for many years. Of course, it was pretty difficult. I mean, here you have a son and a father, and it's like, how do you talk now? Are you talking to as somebody that's advising somebody? Do you talk as a father and son, or you just talk just as being two grown men?
And to put it into perspective, this is 18 years.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, let's go deeper.
Okay.
We talk about the quintessential moment of reconciliation, father and son. We talk about discipleship. From a Christian standpoint, here you're living it out. What true leadership is all about, as you've changed as a parent, and the relationship has grown. More with Al DeCoscos when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
His autobiography is entitled Dakaskus Dynasty. Through the Eyes of the Warrior, El Dakaskus with Karen Spencer, PhD, a book that tells the story, riveting story of life here in Hawaii and then impacting life through martial arts all over the world. But here today in studio, El Dakaskus talks to us about experiences in his life that are visceral, that are relating to you and to me and Norman Nakanishi. Pastor Norman here. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. We're so grateful that you're with us today. Before our break, we're talking about reconciliation. You've come to Christ. There had been marred relationships, marred family relationships, particularly with your sons. Take us back. How did that reconciliation take place? Take us deeper.
Well, as I said, he called me just out of the blues and says, "Dad, can you come down to Los Angeles, you know, stay with me for a few days?" Which I did. Flew down, and first night was pretty hard because, you know, we just kind of stared at each other. Didn't know what to say. You know, I said, "Well, let's go ahead and breakfast." The following morning, we had breakfast, and we walked in the park. And there, where everything came out, you know. Of course, you know, there was some heated moments because, you know, he's very passionate too, and you know, he said, "Well, you did this, Dad, and so forth, and I did this," and you know, it's like tug back and forth.
And we're talking about Mark Dakaskus, your son, who plays Wofat on Hawaii Five-O and has had a stellar career in the movies and even the Iron Chef.
Well, you can call me Lofat.
Lofat, yeah. The father of Wofat,
right? Yeah, you know, when we ended up sitting and talking in a park, it was going back and forth, you know. And I told him, you know, "Mark, what made you give me a call?" He said, "Dad, I pick up the Bible and I kind of went through it and I kind of saw what was going on here, and I just wanted to sit down and talk to you about it." See, Mark was also heavy. A Christian too. But, you know, his Hollywood direction took him into that direction, as is like my martial arts took me away from it, you know. And it was just looking at the Bible, you know, and that brought us back. And, you know, then when Mark saw that, you know, he knew that I already had the influence in me, because then every place that I went, you know, when I said that I was going to be a warrior for Christ, no matter where I went and did my seminars, I was always making reference to my belief, you know, on what made me good. And I said, "You got to have a spiritual side of you." Of course, this was going back and forth because, you know, most guys that get into martial art, they try to tend to stay away from religion, you know. Or if they are, you know, they're looking on Eastern religion more so than on Christianity or anything that way, you know. And naturally, you know, I had been in Europe, and I taught in Europe, and my schools were all secular there. So it was pretty difficult too, you know. And I didn't push it then. I didn't get back into pushing it the way I was until after I got back with Christ when I was born again in 86 or 87. And when Mark and I made up on that, you know. And so, you know, we talked about that. And then from that point on, you know, he knew that, you know, this is the direction I was heading for it too, because it's somewhat kind of weird. You know, when you're young and doing everything that you want, you know, so much materialistic things come into your mind. You're not thinking too much about your spiritual values or anything else this way. You know, it's just you, even if I came up from a traditional family, because I was born in, you know, and went to St. Teresa's School and went to Maranoa High School before I went to Farrington and all that stuff. Yeah. It's that thing that, you know, you see, the have and the have nots, and you think that, you know, I gotta have this. You know, my goal of going to the leaving Hawaii wasn't only because that I was going through some marital problems at that time. I was like all the other martial artists that left here, go to the mainland, walk on the street of gold, and retire back here. And it didn't end up that way because a lot of problems along the way, you know, happened. Now, I was away from Hawaii for almost 38 years and totally changed. You know, when I left here, it was over just a little over 500,000 people. Now you come back, it's 1,300,000. It's like big shock. Yeah. So all of this has gone through like sort of like a mental change on me. And when that happened, wherever I went, especially when I went back to Germany again after being born again, I had interviews on television, you know, like television and in newspapers, and I was always, they would tell me, well, tell me about your martial arts and everything. The first thing I would do is, well, let's take it from this point of view, and I would talk about the Bible. Yeah. Of course, man, it was like, whoa, you know, where did I come from? I mean, I could see the guys that are interviewing me just like, not physically, but you can see that mentally they're backing off. You know what I mean? I would come right back on them. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful. I said, you know, I'm only good because God gave me this. It's a God-given gift, you know? And I said, if he wasn't with me, even if I wasn't believing in him, he was standing in the back of me coaching me what punch to do, what kick to do, what to do, and all that kind of stuff. But I look at my success. I don't think I could have done it myself.
Wow.
You know? Even if he wasn't physically there, he was there. And for some reason, you always say this, you know, when you bow in, you salute, and he says, oh God, I hope you're behind me. Not meaning it, but you're just saying it, but he's there.
Spoken from a leader, Sifu. Leadership moments are those times when things begin to crystallize. You've described in a very... heartfelt details, reconciliation with Mark, change in your family, change in even the way that you run the teaching, leadership moments. Pastor Norman, some reflections related to this.
Whoa, a lot of reflections. Well, much of leadership thought over the years had to do with the so-called hard stuff. Mission, vision, strategy, goals, plans, and tactics, which Alda Koskos modeled in great form, resulting in schools throughout the world. But when you really get down to it, all of that gets accomplished through people. And that makes relationships so very important. No wonder Jesus said, all of heaven's law is fulfilled through one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we all know how much Jesus Christ loved us. He gave himself and he gave his all. And I hear the story of Alda Koskos. He gave his all to martial arts and then in the end realized, those gifts came from the Lord. Well, the foundation of all relationships is trust. It is won over a period of time, but it can be lost in a moment of time. As we heard today, though he was and still is an iconic movement leader in the martial arts world, it took Sifu Alda Koskos 18 years to regain the trust of his most prized pupil, his son, Mark. What was the difference? Well, Al put his trust in Jesus Christ when, for all of his accomplishments, he reached a point he could not even trust himself. And a lifetime of visionary achievement was blurred by failed marriages until Al put Christ at the top and in the center of his life. Today, and this is the beautiful part, today's son Mark Da Koskos plays the hated role of Wolfat in the hit series Hawaii 5-0. But The character of this arch nemesis to Steve McGarrett is far from who Mark really is, a believer, a loving husband, and endearing father. By trusting in Christ, Aldo Koskos restored his son's trust in him. And now the son follows in the dad's spiritual steps. Now that's the best leadership example of all. What about you? Have you fully put your trust in Jesus Christ? If not, do so today. That example will go a long way to establishing an eternal influence. And ultimately, isn't that what leadership is? It's influence. Because we all have influence to some degree or another. Because of that, we are all leaders.
Absolutely.
In these last couple of minutes, on the road of leadership now, as a leader, what would you say? Everybody is a leader in some way, as Pastor Norman talked to us. What would you say as a leader to someone who's leading his family, her family, at this particular time when there are trials that we all face? What would you say?
Let's go back to my son, Mark. He says, Dad, you know, you're really a good teacher because I've learned good and bad from you. All the bad things that you did is the things that I don't want to do. You know? Mm-hmm. And all the good things that I see you do, I want to do better.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, he's seen my marriages. He didn't want to go that way. You know, he's seen the greed and the egotism that I've had. You know, he didn't want to go that way. I mean, he can play Wolf Fat, but if you ever met him in life, I mean, he's not that way. He's just totally a fun-loving person, a very jokester at that. You know, mm-hmm. So. I've always told Mark, I mean, you know, to be a good leader, you got to be like a parent. You know, you will teach your child as much as you can, but you want your child to be better than you.
My dear friend, our dear friend today, as you listen, well, hey, we don't live perfect lives, do we? But somehow by God's grace, he is able to use even the things that we have misstepped. And some of us have misstepped a lot and in very big ways to even show those who we love the most, who are closest to us, the way to live better lives, wiser living, and more enriched living. Al, thank you. You've been such a blessing to us today. Thank you for that word of encouragement. I appreciate you taking the time to be with Pastor Norman and me.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
I hope you've been encouraged by the story of Al de Koskos. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment, as Pastor Norman said, to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got something special there for you. If you'd like to give us and share your financial support and make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Al de Koskos. Until next time, along with my co-host, Norman Nakanishi, and our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.